I'm interrupting the flow of different ones of you speaking because I'm gonna be gone the next couple Sundays, and I just wanted to connect with you guys, and this is one of my ways of connecting. So you gotta put up with me today. I wanna make a brief announcement in regards to having various people speak in that. You know, as leaders, that can be a really risky thing. You know, it's not that everyone's trained to share and those types of things, but I really have confidence in the Lord because of you. You say, what am I saying? I'm saying we've strived for a long time to make this a safe place, which means you have to be a safe person. What's that mean? It means that I can be transparent and expose myself in who I am and my rawness to you, and you won't get offended by it. You won't take something I say incorrectly, get all upset. You won't get hurt. But what you'll do instead in my mess-ups and in my failures, you will extend grace. So I expect over the next several months, as people share, we will extend grace so they can just be who they are in the moment and not be concerned with doing something that might upset somebody. I know I've never been concerned with upsetting you. Really. But the reason I'm not concerned with upsetting you is because I have someone called Terry who lets me know, who instructs me and corrects me. No, and I'm serious. And that's the sort of relationship we need to have with one another, that we don't tear each other down in our failures, but we build each other up when we fail, and we let people clean up any mess they make. So I wanted to get out there. This needs to be a safe place. So all those that are willing to share themselves don't have to worry about sharing themselves. Okay? I would really want to thank Bud and Jen for their transparency in telling their story. I know we post things, so if you're going to be speaking and a few of you have turned in your outlines, which is really good, you will be asked if it's okay to post it because I don't know how personal your stories are. You know, some people are real transparent, they don't care. Others say things that I'd say, you know, take that part out, and we will edit those things out. So I just wanted to put that out there. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, just have your way. Do what you want to do because it's always good. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, so I wrote down my story, who am I, and then blank. You know, I feel like I'm like a fixture, like one of the bricks in the wall, so to speak. I've been here forever. What's that mean? My forever. I was born in Kenosha, been here most of my life. I've been in this church. It was known as Lakeshore Tabernacle. This church existed before I was born. Some of you were here before I was born, but those of you that were here before I was born, kind of say Bruce is forever because I've been here forever. I don't know what it's like to be elsewhere and I haven't visited other places. I just know this place is home. And I do know this. God is everywhere, and you can find God anywhere you go. But God is unique here. There's just an expression of his manifest presence that is totally different than any other place I've been. And you need to appreciate and value that. You have something to offer because God has something to offer. And it's his personality is presented differently here than in other places. And it's pretty cool. Don't know how good we've got it. So I was born and raised here. Much normal childhood, nothing exciting, kind of how I like life. As far as behavior, I really didn't do anything wrong. I was, an A student all throughout. I excelled pretty much in everything. But I was a real jerk. Just because I was right in everything. And I didn't care who it was, I would have no problem telling the pastor he was wrong. I was just right. And I was a pretty strong kid. Wasn't rebellious at all. I didn't do drugs. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't swear. I didn't do anything because only ignorant people did those things. Party? Why did I need to party? I was already happy. I lived on a little 5-acre farm. My enjoyment was taking the ball and throwing it on the roof and seeing where it bounced to see if I could catch it. I entertained myself. I didn't need television. I didn't need a cell phone. I didn't need a computer. I didn't need all these things. I had life, and God's pretty good at providing life. I had no interest in dating as I grew up. Why waste my money on somebody I wasn't going to spend my life with? So if I went out, they paid. Do I want to edit that out in the post? I'm telling you the truth. I didn't say you're going to want to know me after this. I just said you'll know me. I've had people ask me before, what's your testimony? I don't know. I think I came out saved. You don't have a salvation experience? I have all kinds of them, I guess. I've given to the Lord my heart. You go to church camp and they talk about hell and all these things and scared straight and all this kind of stuff. You're always giving your heart to the Lord. Just to make sure. You just want to know that Had all kinds of experiences with the Lord, demonic things that got delivered from, just normal stuff. My mom had to pay to date people because I really didn't want to date. I had no interest in it. And it really stemmed from I didn't like who I was. Therefore, I deemed myself unlovable. So if anybody liked me, I was going to treat them really bad. So they'd stop because eventually they'd find out who I was. They wouldn't like me, and then I'd be hurt. So why go through that? No one likes to be hurt, right? So I avoided it. So to make a long story short, went to church camp. I was pretty convinced that here's the path of my life. I had graduated high school, degree in economics. I had graduated, got my master's degree in finance. Probably should have doubled in accounting because I was only one class away from a master's in accounting. I decided not to go to law school just because I didn't like the law classes I took in postgraduate school. I always thought I'd be a good lawyer because I liked debating, arguing, didn't matter who it was. I was annoying kid that would go pick on the toughest guy around because I figured I had friends that would take care of me. I'm serious. That's just kind of what. So I have my path set. I'm not going to have anybody in my life. It's just going to be me, God, and there we go. And I went to church camp, and there was this girl named Lori, and ended up, she was moving out to California, and I thought, I'd like to go out to California. I got friends out there. And so ended up moving her out to California. By the time I got out there 9 days later, it's like a day and a half trip. I took 9 days. I just didn't want to ever be without her. So I came back, I moved out there, and it took me 2 months to get her to marry me. Got married and came back home. And that's how I was with Lori. Met her at church camp. She was trapped. She had injured her knee, so she had to help out with sports. And I was helping out with sports, so she was forced to be with me, and she's kind of been forced to be with me ever since. I know she's asked God about it a few times, but she's endured because he put her in this spot. Then I wanted boys. Okay, because I just couldn't relate to girls. I didn't think like them. I didn't feel like them. I didn't understand them. Boys, I got. And How many of you, God knows what you need. God gives you what you need, not what you want. Too often we go to God with what we want, and then wonder why we don't get it. He gave me what I needed. He gave me a godly, grounded wife, and he gave me children that all of a sudden melted my heart. See, I needed girls. I thought I'd be tough and disciplined and all those things. You know, I can remember I whooped Brian really good. I mean, I whooped her. Because she did something that sparked fear in me. Went into a stranger's house to play with their puppy. You know, sparked fear in me. And I was so unsettled after it. And never spanked any of my children after that. Because they didn't need spanked. They just needed love. And I realized then they wouldn't do anything to hurt my heart intentionally. So what the, you know, they didn't need discipline to do that. They already loved their dad. So I started learning what love was like. I needed girls to open up my heart. And, you know, the worst type of discipline is discipline out of fear, by the way. It's the worst. So they've grown up. They survived me. Gloria survived me. I've had the 34 and a half best years of my life. Lori's probably had a few good years. But she still lives in hope. It'll be 35 years this December, and probably get 35 more in. I know my parents are approaching 70. 70 years married. Yeah, they'll be 89 this year, so it'll be 69 years married. So they're, you know I've been blessed. My parents are still alive. They're still able to pour into my life. They're listening now, so I have to say good things about them. You know, my dad was a hard man. My dad was an elder in the church. My dad did what had to be done, period. He was just a hard man. He attacked life, you know. Now he's getting a little older. He can't do all those things. And he's realizing that life can be approached a little differently. You know, lessons we learn. But you know what? He needed granddaughters, because I watched the same thing happen with him that happened with me. So I say all this. That's who I am. I've been in church leadership, you know, 25 years. Never wanted to be in church leadership. Said no when I was first asked, and then the Holy Spirit just annoyed me. He did. He wouldn't let it drop in my spirit. You know, I was just, you know, so finally I just went to him like the day before an election and said, "Yeah, I'll do this." And somehow I got put in, and they've never gotten rid of me since. But Lord, you know, the Lord has a plan. So that's a little bit about who I am. I am way nicer than I look. You know, I've heard I'm unapproachable. I'm like the most approachable guy there is. I'm like this warm, snuggly, cuddly teddy bear sort of guy. Really gooey on the inside. You know, just have this exterior that isn't as expressive. I'm a very affectionate person. I'm a lovey, touchy, you know. I'll go to a romantic movie, not a scary movie. I like happy endings all the time. You know, I'm just the soft internal guy. Okay? So you got to get past the looks. You know, he didn't say hi to me. He doesn't care. Sorry, I had something else on my mind. You know, so that's kind of who I am. If you have other questions, you can ask. If I'm in the mood, I'll tell you. Well, you know, I'm still a work in progress. You know, I'm a pretty determined person. Impossible doesn't exist for me. If the Lord says we're going to do something, we're going to do it. I don't care if everybody else says no. It's just the way it is. And you'll get over yourself, and we're going to do it. Everything's black and white to me when, you know, the Lord's leading. And in this house, the Lord's leading. If something's not being done, it's because we haven't heard the Lord say to do it. It's that simple. So, testimonies. I spent most of my life assuming I didn't have one because I couldn't pinpoint certain things, you know. Hear all these tremendous salvation stories and that the people have, and they were in this awful place, and God literally snatched them out from the lives, you know, the jaws of death, and now they're, you know, and they're delivered and healed and all these things. I don't have any. And I've come to realize I probably have the best testimony. If I just hear the things that other people have had to live through and realize, wow, you kept me from this, and you kept me from that, and you kept me from this. And I didn't have to experience that to know how bad that is. I didn't have to go down that path to learn this. You've just been present. So what I've learned is instead of not having a testimony, my life's a testimony. You know, I loved Bud's story up to 17 so far, so we have a lot of years left with Bud. But before he really knew God, God was at work in his life, and he sees that now. You know how big of a testimony that is? To give glory to God before you really had a relationship with God. But I have lots of stories. So I know I've shared this before, but it's just one of many. And most of us would probably say, I should have died years ago. They have stories where they should have died. I have stories where I should have died. Multiple stories where I should have died or been hurt pretty bad. You know, most of the time doing pretty stupid things. Here's one where it's not. I was a young kid. I know I told you guys this, but it's relevant. I was out in the fields with my dad on the tractor sitting next to him, and I fell and I hit the big tire and I went forward. Now when you're a little kid, couple ton tractor pulling a plow, you really don't want to get run over by it. So I've seen things get run over by heavy things before. You know, it brings a new definition to the word flat. And somehow, not only did my dad see me go, he was able to stop it just as the wheel, you know, was compressing on me. And I was fine. But it got me in wanting to share with you thinking. So I'm going to share some verses within that. Psalms 121:7. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Psalms 91:10. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Now I'm trying to bring perspective to my life that I see now looking back. And in spite of life happening and all the things that life presents and all the dumb decisions I made in embracing life, putting my life at risk in various situations or not paying, just being me, he's kept me from harm. Now I know, you know, many of you have stories where you've gone through things, tragic things even, and you can say, well, he's kept me from harm. I'm here today because he's kept me from harm. Jeremiah 29:11, you all know this verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I don't know how you've plans to give you hope in the future. I don't know how you've lived your life, but I can go back and say I confidently have lived my life knowing that he intends no harm for me. That doesn't mean I jump off the cliff and say, catch me. Though I have done silly things like drive a motorcycle over a jump and didn't realize there was a 20-foot drop. flip over backwards and find myself with the motorcycle falling back at me and somehow not even having a scratch. I've had a dirt bike going 60 miles an hour down a path that you shouldn't be on, and all of a sudden I'm doing this. Not a scratch. Bike's all mangled. Somehow he kept me from harm. And it took me back to this verse that we just shared. Like, he has a plan. So, if my life is in his hands, I don't have to worry about my life. Why? Because he'll take me when he takes me, when he's done with me. When I fulfilled my purpose in this life, he'll let me live out my life because he's promised me 120 and I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to enjoy all of it. I'm going to see my great-great-grandkids, all those wonderful things, right? If I keep going, the place will just be full, just with my kids. Multiplication. But he has a plan. Not to harm me. Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God did it for good to what is now being done, the saving of many lives. That's the story of Joseph. I just said some of you have stories that, oh, it hurt me. No, what the enemy meant to hurt you, God's turning for good. And God will use you out throughout the rest of your days to bring out good of some of the worst situations that you've ever been in. Why? Because that's who he is. So, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I wanted to end this passage of a testimony with that, because why? Doesn't matter what you go through. If you'll just give it all to him, let him work in it, he'll turn it for good. You'll have a testimony because he'll take situations in your life and turn it to good. So, another story. Yeah, I'm pretty good with money. Like I said, I'm a numbers sort of guy. And I worked 23 years at a place, a very profitable place, a Christian-owned company. And in, I think, 2002, the owners wanted to start phasing out, so we did an ESOP buyout. Company went from a pretty cash-rich company to a financed company, so it's in debt. And then the recession hit later in that decade. In the meantime, I had worked my way up to become president of the company. And I watched a $15 million company in revenue go down to a $4 million company in revenue in a short span of time, just because what was happening in the marketplace and in the economy. Now, many of you know, when you work at a place for any length of time, everyone becomes family. So in the midst of this time, remember, I'm stubborn. I had somebody that was subcontracted to work with us in the computer side of things, took me out and offered me a job to become president of their company. It was a pretty successful company. It was an up-and-coming company. It would have been probably a pretty good career move. So most of you should ascertain by who I am that I said no, and I was going to do whatever I could to save a company that couldn't be saved. And again, to make a long story short, working through a foreclosure, stayed with the company until I was the last person to lock the door. In the midst of that, I bought out a portion of that company so I could keep the cabinets and counters premise. That's what they did, cabinets and counters. And I moved into a little store and just kept that going. So I went from a decent income, lost $1.5 million in retirement and management compensation, and basically had nothing for a little over a year coming in income-wise. And one thing I knew in my relationship with God was I really didn't have to worry about things. You say, well, why? Because I had a dad that I never had to worry about things. I had a dad who did whatever it took to provide. Now, I could begrudge him for that because he worked like, how many hours in a day? 24? He worked like 28 hours a day. You know, I don't know if he ever slept. He worked. Did a lot of the work here. You know. So how I related to my father was also how I saw God. I don't lack. I have never lacked. Now, I'm blessed, and I have some verses that even show it, that I'm not that needy when it comes to money. I don't have expensive taste. I just don't need. I'm very content. And it's something that, in looking back, I don't ever remember us being in need. I don't ever remember us not paying a bill. I don't ever remember us lacking anything, and we had no income coming in. And in the midst of that, I got a call from somebody I'd worked with in closing down LPI, and there was an opportunity to purchase a business with no money that was shutting down. It's down to about $1 million business, and we made a $1.2 million purchase to purchase this business with no money. Bank that was shutting it down actually refinanced us. We had, I think, 29 contingencies. They agreed to every one of them. And now this $1 million business is, we did $23 million last year, and it's, you know, doing quite well. We bought a few other businesses, so the point of the testimony is you can have your plan, because I was settled into a pretty good career. I was the president of a company that had been going 40 years. It was a strong company. There was nothing wrong with it. Even when it was foreclosed, we hadn't missed a bill. But the regulations and the financial institutions and stuff changed, so they were looking at our record and they were projecting that, I don't think you'll make it. We're fine. I couldn't rely on that. I needed to rely on God, and God had to bring me to a place where I had to come back to just relying on Him. So, the first one is, He is protector. He'll keep me from harm. This one is, He is provider. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. I said it a little earlier. He might not meet all your wants, but He'll take care of you. I did something I would never recommend to you guys from a financial perspective one time in my life. I did some risky investments, put it all on credit cards, had maxed them out. I was way over my budget. No way I could pay my bills. So I threw away the budget. Somehow, within a year and a half, I had no debt. Can't tell you how I threw away my budget. I would never recommend that. Terry would never recommend it. Matter of fact, he'll probably come up here later and tell you all the reasons why don't do that. Don't do that and put God to the test. I'm just telling you, God will make a way if you'll rest in Him. I'm not saying continue to do stupid stuff, because I did stupid stuff, but He is provider. Hebrews 13:5, and I thought this one was cool. Keep your lives free from the love of money. See, I determined my path. I was setting what I needed for my future. So God allowed it to go away, so I could look to Him for my future. It's a great lesson to learn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So what I learned in that God is provider is he is enough. I don't need all the stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will come your way. First Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. What does that mean? Don't worry about it. You're going to be successful. No, you're going to be successful. Why? Because you're keeping your eyes upon God. So, I have one last one I want to share. And this was probably the one that changed my life more than anything. You know, it's pretty neat looking back and realizing your life is a testimony. Because now every story becomes relevant. So, like I said, I was born in the church. I've always done the right things. I always honored my leaders. I did all those things. And I was married and doing all those things, and we were going to church, and we went to church. You know, this was twice on Sundays and several times during the week. We gathered. You know. Yeah, one day we're going to get back to that. You guys are going to wonder why it took so long. And I got an invite to go down to this, some stuff that was happening in Pensacola, Florida, at a place called Brownsville. I was like, well, what's the point of that? You know, so my dad convinced me to go basically because he said it's a free trip. Again, I'm pretty good with money. And again, I'll compact the story. I was standing in line with the guys, several guys. Larry was there. And I don't even know if he knows it. I was standing in line, and I didn't get, but people were lined up there through the whole parking lot. Picture our parking lot in a line going all the way out to the road. That's kind of how it was. And it's midday, and it's hours before you're getting in, right? And the best way I can describe it is it felt like I was standing in the ocean with waves crashing over me, but I was still able to stand. The whole time waiting to get in. And it was just so abundantly clear to me that I was experiencing the manifest presence of God in a manner that I had never experienced the manifest presence of God. And why was this so relevant? It was so relevant because at that point, I could never follow him any more religiously. It was no longer a relationship about rights and wrongs, do's and don'ts, this commandment, obey that. He captured my heart in a manner that moved me from religion to relationship, and I had to approach him differently. I had to approach him now as father. I had to approach him now as friend. I had to approach him something that's wants to fellowship with me all the time. I had to approach him out of love. I had to approach him differently. It's like I've always known about him, but now I'm knowing him. And it changed the trajectory of my life. And, you know, I didn't know any of the things Lauren was going to say, but she really preached part of it. Most of you know Exodus 30. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, Now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand. Until I have passed by, then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face you must not see. Now, what am I saying? And why is this so meaningful to me? I never felt I needed to experience God in any way, shape, or form. He was more than enough for me, just in what I knew. But having experienced God, I will say this, you need to experience the manifest presence of God. Why? Because you'll get like Moses. He said, my presence will go with you. Wasn't enough for Moses. No, show me more. Show me more. Show me more. You want God to move in your midst? Cry out to God to show you more. One experience with him, one undeniable experience that you can't explain, that you can't rationalize, that is beyond human understanding, will change your trajectory forever. Why? Because you'll have to have more. You'll have to have more. Just being in your presence once isn't enough. I need to be there eternally. I need to see you more. I need to move closer. I need to know one more thing about you. That was cool, God. What else? There's so much more. And now when you bring it into a corporate experience, you guys don't understand what God wants to do in and through our gatherings. You don't understand. Why? Because it's beyond you. And you'll be amazed. But what it'll do, how can you go to church every day of the week for years and years and years like they did and still want more? Because they've had an experience. It's time we have an experience with him that changes our life. Proverbs 18:24 says, One who has an unreliable friend soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to have lived it. It's another thing to experience. I'm telling you, I couldn't get out of the ocean. The waves kept crashing over me. It was undeniable. There's no way I could rationalize it. And no one around me was rocking or moving or anything. Everyone else was having their own glorious time, I guess. But I know what God was doing in me. He was making himself real. You know, Moses had to freak out when he walked up to a bush that was burning and it was talking to him. And it wasn't consumed. You can't deny that experience. I know that I know that I know. Because I know. John 10, verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And down to 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Why did I put that in there? Because I've never doubted hearing his voice since then. Now I've heard a lot of people say, I don't know if God talks to me. I'm going to make it real plain for you. If you've given your heart to the Lord, you're a sheep of his pasture, he talks to you. Now, we can work on your ability to listen. We can work on your ability to distinguish his voice. But I'll tell you what, if you have an experience, it's undeniable. God talks with you. God walks with you. God sticks with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You, hear his voice. You might be like Eli and not understand, or Samuel, who went to Eli, and not understand who it was or how it was, but he wants a relationship and he's vocal about it. He wants you to experience him. So what's my conclusion of this? I like, in Ecclesiastes, which Bud did, at the end of it, Solomon basically says, oh, it's all meaningless. Know God, do well. He brings it down really simple. So I'm going to try to do the same thing. Story of my life here. Two verses. I want you to stand with me. A long time ago, Vern Lee gave me this verse as we were going through some hard times in leadership here. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. I can say this as a testimony in my life. He has made my path straight. He honors his word. But this is the one that I really want the Lord to minister to you on today. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If you've given your life to him, he's begun a good work in you. Quit looking at where you are and just look to him on where you're going, because he will complete what he started in you. He's not done with us yet. And that's our testimony. Heavenly Father, I ask that you just bless your people. I ask that in some small way, they would just know you in a more real way. That you would be in every moment, present, living, relational friend to them. God, that you would move mightily in their lives, that they would know you in such ways that it causes our testimonies to explode for you, that when we gather, maybe all we do is share of your goodness and praise your name. I thank you for it. I thank you for what you're doing in lives. I thank you for the transparency of your people, and I thank you that you've made this a safe place. So, Father, we just ask that your will be done, you complete your work, and you receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.